What's going on, everybody? Pete Jensen, Michael Leboff back with you. NHL Action Network collab for week 23 of the hockey season. What's going on, Mike? Since we last talked, a lot of things have changed, especially in some of these division title landscapes, man.
Yeah, it's been a funny season in NHL betting where the awards races are all over. It's crushing to me because I, you know, basically I'm going to come up a loser in each one of them. But these divisional races, the race to get into the playoffs too, they are certainly percolating. And it didn't really feel like it was going to be play out this way. The Bruins obviously ran away and hid pretty quickly in the Metro and in the Atlantic. And it looked like the Hurricanes were going to do the same in the Metro. But now they're all on. And the betting is pretty good, I think, actually. And I think we can actually build something pretty fun here if you'd like to. Maybe a little three-leg parlay between a divisional winner parlay. Give us some big odds, and we'll start with the Pacific.
Yeah, I know you got one ready in your back pocket, so I'm excited to hear it. And that Pacific division, I feel like, is trending in the right direction lately, whereas a month ago, you could have said that's the weakest division by far. Now, Vegas is 8-2-0 in their past 10. They look like they're back into the chat on Stanley Cup futures, division title futures. And don't sleep on the LA Kings either after the acquisition of Corpusalo. They got a nice little goalie tandem going as well. So what's your pulse on the Pacific, and which team are you picking as part of your parlay to come out on top?
Okay, so the team you actually didn't mention is the Edmonton Oilers. And they're
okay.
For this parlay, I want one semi-long shot to juice up the odds a little bit. And they're the one. They're 4-1 to win the Pacific. They're 6 points back of Vegas. But like you said, Vegas is 8-2 in their last 10. I think we've probably seen a little bit of their peak. They might start slowing down. I mean, if they don't, God bless them, they might go into the playoffs as a true juggernaut. But of the teams that are chasing them, I like how Edmonton's schedule sets up actually to get themselves back in this race. It might be a little tougher than the teams that they're playing, but they still have two games left with the Knights. They still have two games left with the Kings, so they can make up the ground, even though they're 6 points back right now. And we know that, I think, we can be honest about this Oilers team now and put them in the kind of category in the West with maybe a slightly behind Colorado, but in the same tier. They're a contender out there in this Western Conference. I think Vegas, Dallas, Edmonton, those kind of teams are all in the same cohort. And I wouldn't be surprised, as long as they keep trusting Stuart Skinner and not trying to figure out the kind of right balance between him and Jack Campbell. I think we figured it out. Stuart Skinner is the starter this season. It should be. They're dangerous, I still think, in this divisional race. And like I said, they have these two games left with Vegas, and they've got a couple with Los Angeles, so they can actually make up the ground just by winning those matchups.
And I know that they got swept out of the conference final last year at the hands of the Avalanche, who are playing well right now, but those are probably still the two most likely teams to weather the storm and go deep in the playoffs. As much as I like Vegas's recent stretch, I have concerns if they're not going to get back and or Mark Stone and or Logan Thompson. That's a bit of my concern. I know they have Jonathan Quick playing pretty well. He's exceeded my expectations since the trade, no doubt. But I also have that worry with LA. Like, depth is one thing, but do they have those finishers to put them over the top in those big games? Maybe it's Kopitar and Doughty. Maybe those guys are a little past their prime. It remains to be seen. But again, I really do like the addition of Corpusalo, even if it's just a regular season only, rest of season betting perspective. I like the Kings' chances of coming out on top in the Pacific.
Yeah, they're definitely still in it. And the note you mentioned about Quick, Nick Martin and I on Line Change talked about how we wanted to target Quick going against him. We thought that the market sentiment, the hype around his trade to Vegas was going to be way too high considering the numbers he had with Los Angeles. But credit to him, like, he's beat us. He's been really good, but can he keep that up? How does Vegas kind of dole out the goaltending minutes down the stretch? Like, they have some complicated questions to answer. So I do think we're going to see them slow down. And that's not really a hot take for a team that's 8-2 over their last 10. Like, they should come back down to earth a little bit. And if they do, I mean, whether it's Los Angeles or Edmonton, I think someone will put some serious pressure on them.
And good metrics on the Kings side: sixth best power play percentage, fourth fewest shots on goal allowed per game, and sixth best faceoff win percentage. Whether that translates to the playoffs or the stretch run, that's all good things in front of Jonas Corpusalo. So Central Division, if we shift there, I think the Minnesota Wild are a big upward trend over the past couple of weeks. despite losing Kirill Kaprizov, their best player. So I wanted to gauge what you're thinking about Minnesota. They're actually, I saw, plus 600 to win the Central Division. They're only a couple of points back all of a sudden. It's a team I didn't pick to make the playoffs, and I guess I regret that now because they got quite a cushion going.
Yeah, they went on that great run here through the end of February, March, and solidified their spot. I always think the betting market is a little too high on Minnesota, and then they always prove me wrong. I'm still learning to take that medicine, and I still can't do it. I'm sure next October when we do our show, I'll say, you know, go against the Wild. They'll be overrated, and I'll be proven wrong again. But I actually like Colorado as the second of the three legs here. They're basically, you know, an even money favorite. They're plus 110 to win the division. They've got the games in hand, and they're just rolling. And I know this feels like a little bit like a buy high. You could have got a better number a couple of weeks ago, sure. But in terms of building this thing out, I just think that they're going to win this thing. And I think that it's over 50% likely that they do. They're 3 points back of Dallas, two back of Minnesota with the games in hand. And to say this in this division is funny because Dallas is 7-3 in its last 10 and Minnesota 7-1-2. But I think the Avalanche is form is probably the best of the three with their 5-game winning streak. And just the way that they've completely course corrected down the stretch here. It's like some of these teams, we've seen it with the Lightning. Now we're seeing it with Colorado. They just know how to pace themselves through a regular season and weather the storm of injuries and all that stuff. And this team certainly has shown that. They've lost Arturi Lehkonen now. It just seems like anytime they come so close to getting healthy, things come unglued a little bit, but they handle it. And I think that having the division in reach is giving them, you know, meaningful games down the stretch, which is, I think, is pretty important for a team like this, where, you know, Tampa and Toronto, those kind of teams, they know what they're going to be dealing with in a couple of weeks, where Colorado can really can make their situation in the playoffs a lot better by having a really strong stretch. So they won't be resting players or anything like that. The division is right there for this team. And it's also the tiebreaker would right now go to Dallas, but if it's between them and Minnesota, they're within reach of catching Minnesota on the regulation wins. They're 1-1 regulation win behind. So I think Colorado in terms of this parlay is definitely a decent leg, and we'll get to the third one in a second. But I do wonder if maybe Minnesota, like I said, with Vegas, like has shot its best shot they exerted all that energy just to make sure that they do get into the playoffs. Without Kaprizov, now we start to see them come back down to earth a little bit.
Yeah, that's still not a team, as much as we're high on them now for the rest of the season or their standing. That's not a team that I trust come postseason time. A poor track record when they do get to the postseason over the past 5 to 10 years for that franchise, unfortunately. Hopefully they prove me wrong, but again, I don't see it, especially if Kaprizov is not at 100% when he even does come back. Their goaltending tandem, though, has been one of the very best this year with Fleury and Gustafson. You got to give them that. But one other thing I saw, Minnesota, most shootout wins in the NHL. There's no shootout in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So let's shift to the Metro Division, because I think we all agree the Bruins have this thing locked up in the Atlantic. So the Metro Division has had a shift potentially with Svechnikov being out for the year. Do you see there being more of an impact negatively on the Canes betting wise in the regular season, in the division title race, or in the Stanley Cup race when it gets to the postseason?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And yes. Unfortunately for Hurricanes fans, right? Like, we knew that this team had one fatal flaw, and it wasn't even a fatal flaw in terms of a regular season, right? Like, this is a team, the regular season, if you can look at it as a race, or you can look at it as like a tussle. Teams like, you know, the Islanders, for example, they prefer to look at it as like a tussle, and they want to be the team that's the last one standing in the race at like the bottom of the playoffs, right? Whereas the Hurricanes, they just want to sprint towards that 82 game finish line, and they can get away with it because they have the depth and they have the play style to kind of win those long races, or if they turn things into a sprint. But now's the part of the season where everything kind of turns into a tussle, and one minor flaw can really unglue a team. And it's no secret that the Hurricanes they don't have the finish that you want them to have. Like, they check so many boxes, but there's one that they just don't tick, and that we thought they did with Pacioretty. He gets hurt, unfortunately. So now the burden becomes even more, you know, heavy on a player like Andrei Svechnikov. and he gets hurt. So now this minor flaw becomes a much bigger one, and there's a little bit of an elephant in the room in Carolina. And I think the Devils are in a decent position to catch them. I know that Carolina's got games in hand on New Jersey. They've got two in hand with and a one-point advantage, but you look at the tiebreaker right now, regulation wins, they're tied. And Carolina, I would have a tough time believing that they're going to be able to maintain the pace that they had even in the second half when they were one of the hottest teams in hockey up until a couple, you know, like 10 days ago without Svechnikov, because they're just, the margins for error are really thin. And they have a relatively tough schedule. Like, they've got a few tough games left. Maple Leafs, Bruins, a couple against the Rangers, none against the Devils, which hurts this bet a little bit. But you're getting New Jersey at plus 220 is what I'm seeing right now. And like I said, in terms of this bet, right, at building a parlay, I'll take that price over the minus 250, because Carolina, a two-game losing streak is well within reach for them, and New Jersey can flip that script. So I like the Devils as a value for this parlay, which now with Edmonton, New Jersey, and Colorado comes out to about 36 to 1. And you can look around, try to find your best numbers if you're going to follow along with this parlay. But right away, I think that it's a realistic look at a decent long shot payout.
It's good stuff. And for Carolina, despite that Svechnikov injury and also Ranta being day to day, and they're going to not only Freddie, but also Kochetkov, once again, we've seen in recent weeks, plus 850 for Carolina to win the cup, third shortest odds behind Boston and Colorado. I don't know that they deserve that right now in my book. So I would probably fade that if I were betting on the Hurricanes. And again, that's a team I liked in the preseason, but I've changed my tune a little bit, as you have as well, Mike.
I think it's an interesting time to look at the Stanley Cup picture just generally, because like you said at the top, the shift, there's been a little bit of a shift here where we thought the Eastern Conference was going to be a true gauntlet and the West was going to be wide open. And I think that's changed a little bit. The Svechnikov injury definitely adds to that. Because it makes Carolina much more beatable. Then you have the question marks with Jersey. This is their first time in the playoffs in a while with this core. The Rangers, I've made it known on this show and other ones, I don't truly think that they're an elite team. If Shesterkin continues his form, it changes the calculus a little bit. But now all of a sudden you got the one true juggernaut with the Bruins, and everyone else seems to be kind of on equal footing. And you look at it, like the difference in odds between Toronto and Tampa, right? Like Toronto, Carolina, they're in the same range. You could throw New Jersey in there as well, like between 8, 9, 10, and 11 to 1, depending where you look. Then you got the Rangers and the Lightning in the teens. And I know that Toronto will likely have home ice advantage over Toronto, but you can really make an argument that these teams should basically have the same odds going into the playoffs right now. And that's from Carolina to Tampa. In the East for me, because they've shown some cracks, each of them. Carolina's just started to show with the injury. It's, you know, through no fault of their own, but it happened. So now we're looking at a much more wide open race, I think, in the East, if you put the Bruins aside, which obviously, you know, you can't do.
Right. So teams that are going to win the division in the East also might have, both divisions might have favorable matchups depending on who gets in the wild cards. Right now, with Pittsburgh and the Islanders, no knock on those teams. I guess I am knocking them. I don't see either of them winning a series against either of the teams they'd be matched up with. I would be more scared of teams like Florida and teams like Buffalo, but Buffalo's really fallen out of favor right now. For Florida, do you think that team has any appeal? I know they don't have a great number on the make playoffs thing, because it's probably likely that Florida would catch, with its vaunted offense, either Pittsburgh or the Islanders down the stretch of the season. How do you see that East playoff wild card race shaken out?
Yeah, it's really changed a little bit here, except there's one thing that's interesting. So Florida right now, they're about a pick 'em to get in. They're minus 110, yes. The Islanders minus 130. The Penguins are minus 350 to get into the playoffs. I'm assuming that's just on pedigree. Like, this is a team that's made the playoffs 16 seasons in a row. They deserve some benefit of the doubt. But if you look at the way that this race is sizing up, the Penguins to me are probably on level footing with these two teams. And that's being a little generous, I would say. I'd actually make the Panthers and Islanders favored over Pittsburgh in this race, because you look at the way these teams are set up. Florida's got the ability to outscore teams, and Sergei Bobrovsky's rounded into form with his increased workload. The Islanders have the goaltending. They've really drastically improved their defense over the second half, as they've kind of committed to being the Islanders of the past few seasons rather than trying to open things up a little bit. And then you got the Penguins, who are playing these wild games back and forth, and they just don't have the goaltending. Like, Tristan Jarry, since he's returned from injury, has been pulled, I think, 5 times out of 10 games. And Casey DeSmith, he's had his moments of you know, strong play in the season, but we know what Casey DeSmith is in the NHL. Like, he's a decent number two goalie. And if you're going to rely, if you're going to play the way the Penguins do, which is a little bit more open than we're normally seeing out of them under Mike Sullivan, with the injuries on defense to Kulikov and Petrie, I mean, you can even add the Bonino injury into that mix too, because he's a good checking line center. You don't have the goaltending to bail yourself out right now. So there's so much pressure on Crosby, Malkin, and Letang and Gensel to put up crooked numbers every game. And that's really hard to do down the stretch. So I have no idea where this number is coming from. I can't make sense of it. So, I mean, hey, maybe the Penguins can get in or whatever, but I would not go near that number right now. I mean, if you're a Penguins fan and you want to do it, go right ahead. But come on. I think that this is a three-horse race between these three teams. And whether you look at strength of schedule, they're basically all the same. I know the Islanders have played 2 more games, but they've got the lead. They've got the tiebreaker over both teams right now too. So it makes no sense to me. And sometimes these numbers, you know, they'll pop out and you'll be like, this makes no sense. And you'll drive yourself nuts. What am I missing? I've looked at it so many ways and I can't figure out what I'm missing between these three.
No, I mean, Washington and Pittsburgh have been hanging on by a thread for a while, and we've seen, you know, just in their gradual decline. And then we saw the shoe drop with Washington this year, probably not going to make the playoffs. And Pittsburgh, that could happen at any moment. It's one of those teams that has just refused to rebuild, and you can't really blame them with their star power and their veteran core. And when you look at the make-miss playoff market, I was also gravitating towards Calgary because of their strong metrics in the Western Conference. I mean, they're plus 145 to make the playoffs. That team is second most shots on goal per game in the NHL and second fewest shots on goal allowed per game in the NHL. Great possession differential there. And also the most overtime shootout losses in the NHL is Calgary with 15. So maybe you expect a little bit better results down the stretch for Calgary. You see them making it?
Yeah.
Maybe over Winnipeg or Seattle?
I tell you, this Flames team is, it's like they're out to get me a little bit. I like them preseason at like 18-1 to win the Stanley Cup. They're now around, you know, in the 50s. So I think if you think Calgary can get in, it would behoove you just to bet them to win it all, because this team, we know the upside, right? We know, like you said, their possession numbers, their expected goals rate all season has been among the top in the NHL. So if they do find a way to just finish their chances and Jacob Markstrom finds his consistency, that team is dangerous. Like, that would be the team in the West that I wouldn't want to play of the kind of wild card-ish teams, because we know what their upside is, and they could just go on a run. And would any of us be shocked that Calgary ends up in the Western Conference final, considering where we had this team before the season started? Absolutely not. Of course, what has happened in the season changes that a little bit. But so if you're going to bet Calgary to get in, just go big. And I would make that same argument with Florida too. Because I think Carolina is a little vulnerable now. If Florida gets that first wild card spot, I think that they're a really tough out for a team like Carolina, who would struggle to outscore Florida in a best of seven. As long as Bobrovsky gives them decent goaltending, they'll be a bit of a monster for a team like Carolina to slay. So Calgary and Florida, I mean, you can maybe throw the Islanders in that equation as well. I think in a completely different way, they're a tough out for a team like Carolina, because they'll just turn games into 3-2 slugfests and bet on Sorokin to come out ahead. And if you're having trouble scoring, that's not really a team you want to face. They'll gum up the works. So I should have made this point when we were talking about the playoff race. I think if you are looking for, if you're looking to bet on a yes to make the playoffs, I would size up what their path would look like. And if you think Florida or the Islanders have the edge on wild card one, maybe take a little shot on that team to do something like win the conference or something crazy. Same thing with Calgary. I think the Flames, like, if you do believe in them, and God, I wish I quit this team a long time ago, but I still kind of do believe in them. I would say, you know, take a shot.
I love the Michael Leboff thinking ahead. If you think this is going to happen, just do this. It's definitely one of the best in the industry for sure. When you look at awards races, a lot of the cream has risen to the top, right? You see McDavid, Allmark, Montgomery, and EK65 all kind of looking like relatively sure things right now from a betting standpoint. Let me know if you disagree, by the way. But Calder Trophy race maybe could open up if Seattle falls out of the playoffs with Matty Beniers. Do you see any avenue, or do you think that's a long shot? I know guys like McTavish, Wyatt Johnston, Kochetkov even. If he has a couple more shutouts, he's got 4 shutouts in limited usage this year. Just some names to keep in mind in the Calder race.
Yeah, it's hard. I think these are all over. Wyatt Johnson, it would be the only interesting one, because you're just like, okay, can this guy maybe score a hat trick in like the last dozen games or so and get his total to like 26, 27, which is really hard to ignore for a rookie. But still, I think everyone kind of has their minds made up already. And these are, we always say, like, these are human beings voted on this award. Erik Karlsson basically won the Norris coming out of the gates as hot as he did. Despite what's going on with his team and maybe his defensive work, it just seems like all these are wrapped up. So an unfortunate kind of break, because I love betting on these awards all the way down to the bitter end, but it's just not been a great year for him.
No, agreed. Mike, so looking ahead to the upcoming week 23, what are some of your favorite plays? I know there are some must-win games, you could call them. You could say it's a must-win for Buffalo and Nashville when they go head-to-head this week. There are a lot of examples of it. Let me know how you break down the urgency of the Stanley Cup playoff races on a single-game betting lens.
Staying in that kind of universe with the must-win narrative, like, I think Monday night, Ottawa's a live underdog against Pittsburgh. The Penguins, like I said a couple minutes ago, I think they're getting too much market respect to make the playoffs. And I think everyone's going to assume, look, they just lost a couple of ugly ones to the Rangers. They had that loss to Montreal before that. They're going to bounce back. And this Senators team is just, they're gutsy. Like, we know what they are. And this is a game that they'll be up for as well. If they want to give themselves an illusion of that, hey, we're still in the playoff race, they got to get 2 points in this one. Ottawa's goaltending is an issue, but in this matchup, it's kind of mitigated because of what we've seen out of the Penguins goalie. So their biggest flaw is kind of muted. I like this matchup for Ottawa. And then Pittsburgh goes out for a Wednesday, Thursday back-to-back against Dallas and Colorado. So we could really, you know, going back to that miss the playoffs, it's like if Pittsburgh loses this game tonight and that number is still around, I would run to it. But you, in all likelihood, you're going to want to bet it before they play Ottawa tonight. Yeah, I think, you know, Buffalo is an interesting team because they're done and they weren't done. And, you know, as of like 6 or 7 days ago, they were geeked up for this race and kind of just fell apart. And now you wonder about a team like that for motivation, right? Like, there are some times where I will agree with kind of the market sentiment of this team's probably just playing out the string. And the Sabres, you know, they really gave everything they had to get themselves in the playoff race. And now it's out. It's got to be disappointing. So they're a team that I'll probably try to avoid as much as I can down the stretch. And I'm also going to look for spots to go against, and maybe not for this week, but in the coming weeks. This is something to keep in the back of your mind. Tampa Bay, Toronto, the Rangers. We'll see how the Central Division shakes up. But you can beat – this is something Nick Martin always brings up on Line Change, and I think it's an incredibly sharp point. You can always beat the market on lineup news if you're a hockey fan, because you kind of understand – you know, whether it's a goaltending, Brian Elliott starting instead of Vasilevsky on a back-to-back or whatever, the market's set as if the strongest lineup is going to play for a team in most cases and with the best goalie. So Toronto and Tampa, these are teams, and like the Rangers, I said, that know where they're going to finish in the standings. I wouldn't be surprised to see them start resting players down the stretch here. And whether it's their goalie, whether it's players like Austin Matthews, who's been dealing with injuries, that have been nagging him for most of the season. If you have any inkling that these teams will start rotating guys, you have a pretty decent chance to beat the bookmakers in the NHL, whereas in other sports, it's a little tougher. So that's something to keep in mind here as we head towards the last few weeks of the season. And lastly, like, I think that what the Florida Panthers are doing is legitimate. They've got a game, a couple of tough games against Toronto and New York. And if they're underdogs in that game, I think, which they should be even at home, maybe against Toronto at home, they'll be a slight favorite. But on the road against the Rangers, I think they are. Oh no, they're home against the Rangers. I even as like in a pick'em later in the week, I'm buying the Panthers against these teams. I think everything looks good for them. The 5-on-5 numbers are good. Bobrovsky's in good form. So I won't be betting them in these first two matches, first two games of the week. It's a back-to-back, and they're going to be big favorites. But as we get later in the week against the kind of big boys of the Eastern Conference, I'll likely be on the Panthers.
I think Florida against the New York Rangers could be the over of all overs with how those offenses have been performing lately, right? Those teams have been dropping 6-7-plus goals left and right. The Rangers have 22 goals in their past four games combined. And yeah, the Panthers have been outscoring some of their problems as of the past month or two of the season. It's been fun to watch them. Again, keep an eye on the Panthers on the live line. They were so great in that aspect last season as well. But we didn't really see it for the first month of the season, but don't forget about that trend for single game betting. And then when you look at the Buffalo Sabres, like you said, there is the Devon Levi factor where he could enter the picture and go on a run. But again, it's a real long shot. We were talking about the Sabres being at what, plus 200 something, plus 300 something to make the playoffs a couple of weeks ago. That number has ballooned to plus 1300 for Buffalo to make the playoffs. So I wouldn't advocate for that, but that just shows how the market has changed.
Yeah, yeah, them and the Red Wings, they're basically kaput, and I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the week we'll see that number on Pittsburgh lengthen big time. And just one last thing is that Saturday game, Washington against Pittsburgh, that's a tough spot for Pittsburgh coming back west after traveling out west, then coming home, and the Capitals, you know, will be up for it regardless of their spot. So that's just one other underdog spot I would look for to target, as the narrative will be that the Capitals are on the beach and the Penguins are in a must-win spot. But that's really it for this week. It's going to be, it should be wild. We'll have a really good kind of picture of what this playoff race will really look like by the time we talk next.
Yeah. And for the Boston Bruins, who are running away with the President's Trophy right now and clinched a playoff berth, they have some tough games over the weekend. Just to look ahead, they play Tampa Bay at home, NHL Network, 1 p.m. on Saturday, and then they play at the Hurricanes on Sunday. And as much as we've been talking negative about the Hurricanes, that's a spot I like where they could get home cooking, whether it's regular season or in the playoffs, and remind everybody, hey, we're not going to lay down for anybody, even the Boston Bruins, who, by the way, the Canes did beat last year. You hear what I'm saying, Mike? So it's going to be fun to watch the Canes down the stretch, even though these things have broken in bad directions. I still think they're not going to go away quietly.
Yeah, that's the thing about betting, right? Like, I'm not saying that the Hurricanes are bad. Like, they're a really good team. They're one of the best teams in the NHL. They just shouldn't be the same price that they were before Andrei Svechnikov was ruled out for the entire season that they are now, right? Because he makes such a big difference for, especially for a team like that. So that's what I'm saying. Hopefully, you know, that doesn't come back to bite me when people say like, oh, I thought you said the Hurricanes were terrible. That's not what I was saying. They're really, really good. The Hurricanes are awesome, but they're just not as awesome as they were before the Svechnikov injury.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So reminder to check out Line Change, the Action Network's NHL podcast, every Tuesday and Thursday. And on the NHL side, NHL Puck Line is a new show with our friends Lauren Jabara and Todd Furman every Tuesday and Thursday on the NHL YouTube channel. Go and check it out. So some great content on the betting front as the league continues to embrace that type of stuff. So for Michael Leboff, Pete Jensen, thanks so much for listening to the NHL Action Network collab. We'll talk to you on the other side.